frustrations in my Christian life since I got saved almost getting close to 50 years ago now, is changing my will. You see, we all have a fallen nature. We all have a fallen will. And we know what we should do, but it's just a matter of doing it. And before we can do it, we've got to have a determination, a will to do it. And in the ministry, I would say by far the greatest frustration is to change the will of others, to direct their will and give them the desire. And I realize in trying to do that, in trying to change my will or trying to change other people's will, we simply run into frustration. Because it's something only God can do. Now, there are some things that we need to take some steps, and by next week we will get to the second half, some very practical steps in changing our will. But if our will is not going the direction that God wants us to, we will never do what we should be doing. I want to take the time to look at all the verses. It's a hesitancy. It's a natural thing when we come to a Bible verse. Oh, yeah, I've read that verse before. I want to take the time to look at each of the verses instead of just skimming over them. And as we talk about the pursuit of holiness, and that's what Romans is all about, pursuing God's holiness. We're called to be saints, holy, which is what the word saints means. I mentioned this morning that most of the time that word that's translated saints in the Bible is translated holy. We're called to be holy. And again, that's not something we can do. It's His righteousness. It's His holiness. In the pursuit of holiness, I want you to turn to Psalm 15. Psalm 15:1 is a memory verse, but this whole chapter is worth memorizing. And we're going to turn to these verses. If you give me a look ahead, you can see the word. If you don't know the word that goes in there, I want to read the entire verse and just pick out the one word that I left blank on purpose in your paper. Psalm 15, and I feel a little sacrilegious doing this. I have all the verses written out in front of me, so rather than thumbing through my Bible, you can get there quicker than I can in the Bible, so I'll just read it off my paper, and hopefully I wrote it out right on the paper from what it says in the Bible. I didn't add or take away from the Word of God. Psalm 15 says, Lord, who hast been, or who shall abide in thy tabernacle, and who shall dwell in thy holy hill? And the tabernacle is not just a physical building, that's the presence of God. And the holy hill is not just the mountain where Jerusalem sat, it is the place where God meets with His people. He that walketh uprightly, he that worketh righteousness. By the way, I can't do that on my own. He speaketh the truth in his heart. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor, in whose eyes a vile person is contemned. But he honoreth them that fear the Lord. Don't get those two mixed up. Don't despise those that are walking in the fear of the Lord. He that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not, even if it costs me something, I'm going to do right, is what that truth is. He that putteth not out his money to usury, nor taketh reward against the innocent, doesn't take advantage of other people. He that doeth these things, oh, what a wonderful promise this is. I liken this to the promise of 2 Peter chapter number 1. He that doeth these things shall never be moved. If we do these things, we will never fall. The pursuit of holiness. Now, what we gave you in the last two lessons, just by way of review and one simple statement, we talked about holiness in body, holiness in soul, and two reviews here in lesson number 8 and lesson number 9. If I am to live a holy life, I must first And this is holiness in body. In 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24, what's the word that goes in there? Anybody look? Or do you already know the word? Let's look at the verse. 1 Corinthians 9. I encourage you to turn in the Bible and follow along, okay? 1 Corinthians 9, I know I'm not giving them ahead of time. You have them in front of you, so you can look ahead a little bit. 1 Corinthians 9, 24 through 27, know ye not that they which run a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate, disciplined in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainty. So fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my, what's the word? My body. I keep under my body. In other words, I don't do what my body wants to do. And bring it unto subjection, lest it by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. If I am to live a holy life, I must first keep under my body and bring it unto subjection. And then lesson number 9, what we talked about, and I didn't give you this verse. I thought about the verse many times and realized after the lesson I didn't put that verse in there. This is a key verse in Proverbs 25 and verse number 28. He that hath no rule over his own, what? Spirit is like a city that is broken down without wall. If I can't control my flesh, if my spirit is not in control of my flesh, if my soul is not in control of my spirit, I'm like a city that is broken down and without wall. The believer that lives a holy life has learned to rule over his own spirit. And we talked about last time that word spirit is used in different ways throughout the Bible. And in this verse, like many other places, it's used in reference to what did we say last time? Our attitude. My spirit, my attitude. If I can't control my attitude, I can never live the way God wants me to live. Now, I highly recommend a book. I've given it out to a number of people. I looked in the bookstore. We don't have a copy in the bookstore right now. I need to get some more in the bookstore. A book by Richard Taylor called The Disciplined Life. I know a lot of people pride themselves, the key word is pride, in their discipline, but there needs to be a right balance. I need to discipline myself to walk in the Spirit. Not discipline myself to do certain things, the world can do that. And there is a great balance as it's presented in that book. In other words, I cannot live a holy life on my own. I can take steps to allow God's grace to work in my life, but I can't do it on my own. And if I think I do it on my own, all it does is feed my pride, which is my biggest problem. So there must be a balance between discipline and grace. And we're talking about what we can do to live the holy life, what we can discipline ourselves to do to live a holy, nice life. Now, tonight we're going to talk about the holiness and our will. Our wills, our desires. And again, I cannot do it, but I must take steps to let God's grace perform a perfect work in my life. Father, I pray that you would bless your word tonight. Oh God, teach us to walk in your grace. Lord, we're thankful that salvation is all of grace. We simply received the gift of salvation by calling upon the name of the Lord who finished the work in the cross of Calvary and proved beyond any doubt that he was God by the resurrection. We thank you that we can put our faith and trust in him. And Lord, in doing that, our names written in the book of life. And we have eternal life in Jesus Christ. There's nothing we did to earn that life. We simply received it. However, living a righteous life, living in sanctification, living in holiness, there are steps that we must take. Just as the priest first had to step into the Jordan River, and then God parted the water, so we must take certain steps in our lives to know your grace. And when we take these steps, you do the impossible. Lord, help us to see the simplicity of those steps tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Philippians chapter number 2. And again, I want you to turn there. Don't just look at the one verse in Philippians 2, verse number 13. I want to start back in verse number 5 in Philippians chapter number 2. You find it there. Philippians 2. It's good to hear pages. It's good to have good enough hearing to hear pages, or at least see pages. Turn. Some people just push a button and get there quicker. Philippians chapter number 2. And verse number 5 says, I love that word, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being, in other words, let it get out of the way and let God work. Get my flesh out of the way. Get my attitude out of the way, my bad attitude. Get my will out of the way. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow. In Romans it says we shall bow, but here it says we should bow. Of things in heaven, of things in earth, of things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess. One day we shall confess, but for now we should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He is the master. He is in control. He is the one that calls the shots. He is the one we are obedient to. To the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Again, we're not talking about getting to heaven. We're talking about our sanctification. Salvation and sanctification, by the way, when you study the Bible, you find they're sometimes used synonymously. Work out your own salvation. In other words, you do what God wants you to do, not to get saved, but to live the sanctified life. And verse number 13 is the memory verse for this week. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. There's what we want right there. To let Him have His way and to do His will through us. Not our will, not my will for you, not your will for me, but His will. It is our will. Now, I know the wording gets, you might have to read this a few times. I'm just going to read through it once. You can look at it later. That's why I typed this out. It is our will that ultimately decides if we make these previous steps towards holiness. Holiness in body and holiness in soul. It's our will that makes that determination. We must learn how to bring our wills into subjection and obedience to the will of God on a practical, daily, hour-by-hour basis. I'm sure every one of us would say, yeah, it's my will to let Jesus be my Lord. It's my will to do what I should be doing. But do we really do what we should be doing? Do we really follow through on what we know we should be doing? If we're honest, we'd have to say, no, we don't. But we sure try. It's God that worketh in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. But we need to get the focus right here first. The heart is this isn't a one-time decision like salvation was. This is a moment-by-moment decision. Do I do this or do I do what I want to do, or do I do what God wants to do? And it needs to be a conscious thought and a conscious decision. The heart, as used in the Bible, generally denotes, and we're not talking about the thing that pumps our blood, all right? We understand that. It generally denotes the facilities of the soul as they work together in doing good or evil. It refers to the mind, the emotions, the conscience, and the will. We sometimes call it our soul. When God created man, now this is an important thing to understand this paragraph here. And again, I encourage you to take it home and reread it and think about this. When God created man, the reason and emotions and the will all work in perfect harmony. Man did what God told him to do without question, without reservation. He did have a choice. God gave him a choice, and we know what he chose and brought sin into the world. They worked in perfect harmony and in perfect fellowship with God. Oh, don't you long for that time to be in perfect fellowship with God like Adam and Eve were in the garden? You know, I've always pictured heaven and the new heaven and the new earth to be like the original heaven and earth. But I've come to realize in recent years it's going to be better. Because it's not just going to be Adam and Eve, it's going to be all of us that are saved are going to be there. And we're all going to be in the image of Jesus Christ. What a wonderful place that will be. Now, when man fell, reason led the way in understanding the will of God. God said to do this, so we just do it. Doesn't matter how I feel, doesn't matter what I think, doesn't matter what I believe, just do what God says. And the will consented to God's will. Yes, sir, I'll do whatever you say. And the emotions delighted in doing it. I was happy when God said to do something. Doesn't matter how difficult. I like that song that they sing. I've never heard that song. Well, I can say I've heard it now, but until tonight, I've never heard it. And our emotions were delighted because we followed. And I'm thankful for someone that's instrumental in my life that we talked about emotions, and that was, struggle with emotions. Well, I just don't feel saved. I don't feel like this. And, you know, faith is based on fact, not on our feelings. When we're founded on the facts of our faith, the feelings will come. But if we're looking for feelings first, we got things all wrong. When sin, now this is a statement here, I was jumping ahead of myself a little bit. When sin entered the soul of man, these three faculties began to work at cross purposes to one another and with God. We got things all mixed up. And we are not only mixed up, in reality, the natural man and we as human beings today work exactly the opposite of God's originally planned. Our emotions lead the way. And they determine the reason and what we're going to do. Most commonly in modern man, emotions get the upper hand and draw both reason and will from the obedience to God. I would do that, but I just don't feel like it. I just don't think I can right now. I'm not sure that I can. And our emotions, our feelings, what we desire gets in the way of doing. Boy, I'd sure like to have that, but what does God? Well, what God, I'd sure like to have that. And then we kind of throw it in to make ourselves sound a little spirit, if it's your will. Instead of saying, God, this is your will. Doesn't matter how I feel, doesn't matter what I think. Let's go that way. Yet we don't operate that way. Consider what these three verses tell us about our will. And by the way, our will, our soul, everything about us is sinful, it's vile, it's corrupt. We're completely separated from God. We talk about the total depravity of man. You study what sin is, we are totally depraved. Yet God still loves us. What an amazing God we have. What a great God of grace we have that's willing to save us. And yet, our minds are still a mess because we still live in this natural body, because our body tells us what we want to do. Our feelings tell us what we want to do instead of letting the Spirit of God tell us what we ought to do. And the way it was explained to me early in my Christian life, and I still believe this is a good explanation of what we're made of, a trichotomy, three parts, a body and a soul and a spirit. Our soul is, in this definition, in this usage, our soul refers to our heart, our emotions, our will, our feelings, everything we are inside. We talk about going soul winning. That's our mind, convincing someone, a conviction of sin, and we turn to the Lord Jesus Christ with all our soul, with all our heart, and everything within us. Our body, of course, is this flesh. And then the spirit. When we're born into this world, we're born spiritually dead. Not that our spirit does not exist, but it is separated from God. When we get saved, we are quickened by the Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes to live inside of us and revives our spirit, and we are united with Him in our spirit. Now, out of these three things, the spirit, which is God's spirit, and the soul, which is our mind, our emotions, our thoughts, and then our body, our flesh. In our natural state, which one of those three is in charge when we're born into this world? We've got a newborn baby over there. That baby doesn't reason at all. He's very unreasonable, isn't he? We're born into this world without the ability to reason, without the ability to communicate. Everything is about me. And it's no coincidence where babies like to do this. A lot of adults like to do that too. This is what I want. This is what I think. This is what I want to do. We're controlled by our flesh. Now, God says we're completely opposite of what it should be. Now, somebody who's disciplined realizes, no, I shouldn't do that because that wouldn't be right. When Otto gets a little older, no, I shouldn't slap Jackson around. Maybe he will. I don't know. I shouldn't pull my sister's curly hair. As much fun as tempting as that is, I probably shouldn't do that. And he begins to learn some discipline and correction and realize I shouldn't do that. Now, a spiritual person, the Spirit of God is in control of their thoughts. It's not I do what I want to do. It's not I do what I think. It's the will of God working in us. That's the struggle that every one of us has because our emotions get in the way. Our feelings get in the way. Our desires get in the way. Now, consider these verses that tell us something about what these verses tell us about our will. I'm trying to think how I worded this. Our desires need redirecting. Ephesians chapter number 2. And again, if you turn there, I think I got all these verses, the entire verse written out here in these sections. Ephesians 2 verses 1 through 3. And you hath he quickened. The word quickened means make alive. He's made us spiritually alive, which that's a key thought in the book of Ephesians. We were spiritually dead at enmity, enemies of God. He's broken down that middle wall of partition that separated us from God when we were born again. And all of it was by faith and His grace that we were saved. And then he says, you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein in time past he worked according to the, what's the word? The course of this world, the way the rest of the world looks. Are you looking in your Bible? You see it there in your Bible. The course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. And by the way, when our flesh got in control, when our soul gets in control, that's the prince, that's the devil working in us. Who is the god of this world? Who's controlling us? We might think that we're doing our own thing, but we're doing the devil's thing. That doesn't make a very good song. I did it my way. No, I did it the devil's way. That doesn't sound as good, does it? But that is, in reality, what we're doing when we're not saved and when we're doing our own, walking in our own understanding. And there was a verse that Elizabeth quoted earlier in Proverbs 3, trust not in thine own understanding. Or Addie, I'm going to say Addie, Elizabeth, they're the same. They're just ages apart. No, I'm just kidding. Which is the reasonable servant, I'm jumping down to the next verse. The prince of the power of the air, among whom also we had our conversation, our lifestyle. In other words, he was the one that was in control of our life. Jesus said, by the way, to the religious leaders, you're of your father, the devil. And you do the works of your father. By the way, every one of us have a father of the devil. He's a father. He's the God of this world. He is our natural father. We're born with a sin nature because of Adam's sin. We all inherit that sin of the father that became Adam's adopted father. And we have that sin nature. We had our conversation in time past in the, what's the word? Lust of the flesh. Fulfilling the, what? The desires. The desires of the flesh and of the mind. And we're by nature children of wrath, even as others. We did what our body told us to do. We did what our mind, what our desires told us to do. What we desired. What I think, what I feel, what I believe. This is a lifelong struggle, by the way. It's not what I think, what I feel. They're not important. What does God say? And that takes digging into the Word of God to understand that. That's not a casual reading of the Word of God. Our mind must be, and again, consider this about our mind must be transformed. Most of you probably know Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. I need to look to see what word I left out. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Not unreasonable. You know, it's sad in our world today, even in Christianity, when someone gets a hold of God, when God begins to work in their life. And I've seen it in church youth groups. I've seen it in Christian homes, in Christian families, not just the lost people's family, but in Christian homes. Somebody goes off to camp and they come back and they make some great spiritual decisions. Or someone gets right with God and they make some great spiritual decisions and they decide this is the way they're going to live their life. This would be the reasonable thing for me to do. And mom and dad, maybe they even say it in these words. I've heard it said in these words. Now, let's not be unreasonable. Let's not go overboard. Let's not get too crazy with this religious stuff. I know pastor says this. I know they said that at camp. But now we're back in the real world now. And that just doesn't work in the real world. This is our reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye, what? Transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Our mind needs to be transformed. Our way of thinking needs to be transformed into the will of God. Holiness in our will, giving our will to God. And again, this is not a flippant thing. This is not something you can give a testimony. Oh yeah, back when I was a teenager, I gave my will to the Lord. Well, that was good for a couple of minutes. Have you done it since then? It's something that has to be done continually. Our affections must be reset. Did you know you come with a spiritual reset button? It's right back there. You got to push it every once in a while. You got to get down to your knees where you can reach it, and you got to push that reset button. Look at our affections must be reset because we naturally do what we want to do. In Colossians 3, verses 1 through, I just stopped in verse number 2. That whole chapter is good. If ye then be risen with Christ, and not if as in, boy, are you really? This is not a test of your salvation. And sometimes when you see that word if in the Bible, you could put the word since, which means another meaning of the word if. It's not the way we generally use it today, but it is in Old English. Since ye then are risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Have you been to the throne of grace today? Have you been to His... Oh, what a wonderful thing it is to come to His throne of grace. And then notice what He says. Set your affections. Set your affections on things above, not on things on earth. What do we desire in life? What is the thing that's the most important thing in life? If it's anything on this earth, that's an idol. I'm talking about good things on this earth. I seek only Jesus Christ. My affections are set on Him and Him alone. That's the will of God. That's resetting our will. Setting our affections not on the things of this earth, not on what I think, what I feel. Now we're going to go a little bit farther here. We'll go a little bit onto the next page. Holiness, like so many other endeavors in life, doesn't always pan out. But God, I thought if I did this, I could go on for days naming the things that I thought, God, if I did this, it would work out that way. What I've learned, and you probably learned too, it doesn't always work the way you had it planned out, does it? God always directs in different paths than what we have figured out. I know some folks have it all planned out and orchestrated. This is what I'm going to do, and this is where I'm going to be in 10 years, and that's the way the world thinks. Where are you going to be in 10 years? Where are you going to be next week? What are you going to be doing? Holiness is just walking with God. It doesn't work the way we plan. Our determination to change is often defeated when we begin. Since God didn't seem to pull His side, since God didn't do what I expected Him to do, if I do A, B, and C, that's kind of the way our mind works, especially in our culture today. If I do A, B, and C, then God's going to do D, E, and F. God's going to take the next step. That's not how God works, but that's the way our mind works. We just take it this far, and then we turn the wheel over to Him and let Him drive from there. But if it didn't work out the way we had thought, we just think, well, I guess we'll just redirect. I guess we'll go to plan B now. You ever stop to think plan B might have been God's plan A? plan C, I'm not sure which plan I'm on anymore. I think I'm about the third time through the alphabet, to be quite honest with you. But I'm just trusting God and walking with God. I don't really know where we're going and what we're doing. I'm just walking with God, and that's the most important thing. Or we begin to justify. Well, that's not what I am. Well, this is just as far as I can go. Or we can redefine. Well, this is good enough. This is far enough. The change that we once desired. Or we can begin to make excuses. We do this especially in our parents, ideas of our kids, don't you? When a child's misbehaving, what's the first thing mom and dad say? When you're in a public place and they're misbehaving, oh, they're just tired. Oh, they're not feeling it. We begin to make excuses, don't we? We're good at that. We just do that naturally, right? Yeah, they're like their mother. There's the dad's excuse. The mom says, no, he's got his dad's sin nature. We start to make excuses, and we start to point to everything else, and if this was only that way, and we do that with ourselves as well. You know, I reacted the same way, but, well, I was just tired. No, I just sinned against God. If we look at it the way God sees it, we begin to think a little bit different, don't we? It's hard to justify things when we see sin as sin instead of just, you know, I wasn't feeling good that day. You know, I've been under a lot of pressure lately at work, and you know, all the things going on. By the way, I skipped this verse up there that I put in the box. It was in the box, so I put it in the box so we would see it, and then I put it in the box so I overlooked it. That's how that goes, isn't it? Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. We need to guard our heart and make sure our heart is focused on God. Now, how to reset and keep our will rightly directed. I'm going to stop here, but you see the first one. And I keep coming back to this one because that is the most important principle of walking with God, of keeping our body into subjection, keeping our emotions in check, keeping our soul, our attitude where it ought to be. There is no substitute for Bible memory and Bible meditation. You know the verse. I hope you know the verse. We teach it to the kid, but then when we get to be adults, we think, well, we don't need this verse anymore. That's just for kids. No, it's more for adults than it is for kids. Wherewithal shall a young man or an old man, or middle age, that's where I am. I'll never be old. So middle age is where you always are, right? Or wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. With my whole heart, I determined to do... No, with my whole heart, I sought God and Him alone. Oh, let me not wander from Thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart. Why? That I might not sin against Thee. If the word of God is not hid in my heart, we put it in our brain by memorizing it. We put in our heart by meditating on it, that we might not sin against Him. That we might not do our will, but we would learn to do His will. This is the first point in resetting. We're going to get to some more practical things next time. And I hope I didn't scare you away. I think I'm going to be sick next week. I think we're going to be out of town next week. But no, I hope not. I hope maybe you look ahead and study these and see if you can figure out what goes in the blank. The bottom might be a little bit more difficult. The Bible verse is a little easier. We need to reset our will. Not my will, and Jesus taught us to pray that way. God, in the form of man, Jesus Himself, prayed. That's an amazing thing right there. And He prayed, not my will, but thine be done. Jesus was man, and I don't believe Jesus sinned. And He wasn't saying, God, I can't back out of it. He wasn't saying that at all. But He did pray, it's not my will. What an example He gave us. And if Jesus had to have His will reset, I think we need to have our will reset. I got this all figured out. I don't have it all figured out. And Jesus even prayed that, God, Your will be done. And oh, how we need to take some steps to pursue God's will. Well, I'm here, aren't I? I'm in God's will. Oh, is that all it is? Just being here? Well, I'm dressing right. I'm listening to the right music. I'm doing the right things. Is that all it is to be in God's will? It's much deeper than surface issues. I'm going to ask you to stay.